Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Right now, our listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/ghost.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your ghost stories with us on the website. You can go there and you can just write in your story that way. Or if you have an audio file you want to record on your smart device and send it to us, you can email it to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. Thank you for pressing subscribe, telling a friend about the show, and letting everybody know that we exist. That's how word gets out about the program, and how your friends and family will be much more accepting of your ghost stories, because they'll start listening and they'll be like, oh my God, they've been telling me this story my whole life. I never thought it really was possible. So there you go. Another reason to tell everybody now that we exist. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again.
Hi.
And how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. I have a whole lot of stories here. In fact, I think our first one that we have lined up is about a shadow man. You know how I know that? Because the file itself says Shadow Man.
Okay.
So I'm hoping that's accurate. And it's not like about a pumpkin or something.
Sure.
But
pumpkins are
that.
Awesome.
Let's hear the first story here at 855-853-4802. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, Tony. Hey, Jenny. My name is Emily. I'm from Galesburg, Illinois. I just wanted to share a quick ghost story with you. It's about a shadow person in my home. I do have quite a few more, but I'll just share this one for now since it's my first one. I find it kind of cool. So, I was in high school. I'm 25 now, so it was my, I think, sophomore year, so I'd be about 16. We just started driving, and it was, like, December, and my friend called me while I was at home. She said she just witnessed a car accident happen right in front of her. I don't think it was anything major, but it kind of scared her. It was her first witnessing a car accident kind of thing, you know. Would creep you out when you first get your driver's license and stuff like that. So she was like, can you stay the night at my house? It was a Friday night. So I was like, yeah, sure, come over and pick me up. So she came over, came inside, and I was packing my bags in my room to go to her house. And my room, it's connected to the hallway of my house. My house is kind of small. And my room was small as well. You can really just fit a bed and a dresser in there, and it's kind of packed. but my bed, the head of my bed, shared the wall with the hallway, and my door was right there. Like, when I get out of bed, I just walk out the door to my right. So I was packing my bags on my bed. I was really close to the head of my bed, so my door was right to my left. And the door was open maybe 5 inches. I could see out in the hallway out of the corner of my eye while I was packing my things. And my friend was sitting on my bed waiting for me. And I saw a tall, dark, in my head, I knew it was a man right when I saw it. It was tall, maybe 6 foot type height. And when it walked by, it was kind of quick, but I saw it. The light in the hallway was off, but I saw it. It was darker than the dark, like everyone has said about these shadow men. So when I saw it walk by, it hit my door to my room and pushed it open on me. So it hit my right arm. It wasn't hard. I felt like it was playing around. So I thought it was my stepdad because he lives there as well. He's the only man in the house at the time. And I was like, oh, he's joking with us. I'm going to go see why he did that. You know, just laugh along with him about it. So I go out into the living room, and he's asleep in this chair, which he does a lot, but him and my mom and even my cat, the only other people in the house besides me and my friend, were asleep in their chairs. And I had to wake him up and be like, did you just hit my door? And you're faking asleep. He's like, no, I've been here. What happened? So I told him, and they were kind of freaked out. You know, I could tell, but they just kind of played it off as, oh, it's no big deal. Whatever, you're seeing things. So I went back in my room, and I asked my friend if she saw that. And she's like, yeah, let's get out of here. So we left. So it just creeped me out. I've always been scared of that hallway. Like, every room is like a safe zone. I've heard that in previous calls as well that you guys have, where one place is, you feel like someone's right up against you, staring at you, checking you out, kind of thing. But once you get to a certain room, you're safe. So that's what my hallway has always been for me. I do see things out of the corner of my eye. Like, it's never straight on. It's just a quick movement, and I'm like, what was that? My boyfriend has seen it as well. He said, I think I just saw someone go into your brother's room, but I don't know. No one's back there. So it's just kind of always been that way. Even my friends growing up were kind of creeped out about it as well. It's just a feeling of, it's not a scared feeling. It's more of, somebody's right there up on you, and you can feel it, so you just rush through. I did tell my dad about it, that experience of the shadow man pushing the door on me, and it kind of creeped me out, so I told him about it. And he moved out of that house when I was maybe 4. So he said that I was in the bathtub playing one day when I was little. And he was in the living room strumming his guitar, and he had the door open to the bathroom for me so he could hear if I stopped playing or something, just to do his own thing while I was playing. But in case something bad happened to me, he knew that if I stopped making noise to go get me. So anyways, he said he was there and saw a dark figure as well, and he thought it was a tall man too. But he just kind of was like, wow, that's weird. He grew up in a haunted house as well. So it was just kind of, he just kind of played it off. But, and then he said that he heard me say, Daddy, is that you? So he was like, no, honey, it was just a car going by. It's all right. Keep playing. He didn't want to scare me, you know. What do you tell a 4-year-old? So, yeah, that's my ghost story. My mom, my stepdad have not felt anything in the hallway, so I don't know if it's just they're not sensitive, really, because I do have quite a few experiences, but my stepbrother has felt things as well, seen things. He thinks things have fallen off shelves randomly, but I don't think that's happened in a while, maybe a few years ago, but I don't know, it's just a really creepy feeling, and I thought I'd share it with you. I do have a doll story and, dreams of where relatives have come back to me after they have passed on, and a couple animal ones. So they're pretty cool. I'll call back with those. Thank you for listening. Bye.
I wonder what it is about hallways, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They're kind of like closets in that that seems to be a constant spot of having something hang out there.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it's just when you're on that side, you know, it's like having really bad eyesight,
mm-hmm.
or everything's really kind of blurry, and kind of being in a more confined space, you're able to know where the walls are, where the limits are, where you're at. And when it's a much wider open space, it's more disorienting for someone on that side. It's like having, you know, really bad eyesight or wearing really bad glasses that aren't your prescription. Mm-hmm. And you're like, what the heck? You can't really tell where things are, but you can tell where basically the limitations are.
Maybe.
I wonder if that's part of it.
Might be.
I don't know. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. It's the new year, and of course, with that, if you're in business and if you're in charge of hiring folks, you're probably looking for great talent, and that can be difficult sometimes. Usually when you have a position open, you want to get it filled, but that can seem to take forever. Well, not anymore. If you need great talent for your business but are short on time, you don't have to get lost in a huge stack of resumes to find your perfect hire. You just need the right tools, smarter tools like ZipRecruiter. With ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards with just one click. No, you know, juggling different logins and websites and all that. You can rest easy knowing your job is being seen by the right candidates. Then ZipRecruiter puts its smart matching technology to work. You don't just get bombarded with a bunch of resumes. No, no, this thing actively notifies qualified candidates about your job within minutes of posting, so you receive the best possible matches. Mm-hmm. That's why ZipRecruiter is different. Unlike other hiring sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on the right candidates finding you. It finds them. It's no wonder 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one day. It's amazing how fast that can work. ZipRecruiter, the smart way to hire. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by growing businesses of all sizes and industries to find the most qualified candidates with immediate results. Right now, our listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, absolutely free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/ghost. ZipRecruiter.com/ghost. Okay, one more time. Try it for free. ZipRecruiter.com/ghost. 855-853-4802. Our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi, let's hear your story.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Amber from Salt Lake City, Utah again. I did call a little while back about a little girl in my room. I have another story for you. So me and my boyfriend are laying in my bed, and my little girl likes to pick flowers for me like so many other little girls. And so I had this rose sitting in a little plastic cup next to my husband's side of the bed, and we're going to sleep, and I have my back to his back, and I have my face towards the wall, and his face is towards the other wall. Well, I'm in that weird, like, half asleep, kind of awake state where, you know, you hear things, not sure, you wake up out of that state. Well, this is the weirdest thing. I don't know how to even explain it, but I'm laying there in this state. I'm almost asleep, and I hear a sound like only I can describe as like a dodgeball. Like when it hits you, that tinging noise, that ting. Well, it felt like it hit my face, and I hear it at the same time that I feel like something hits my face. But I don't have a dodgeball in my room, obviously, and I don't know where it would have come from. So I wake up and I like shake my boyfriend up. I was like, babe, did you hear that? And he goes, oh, I heard like a tinging noise. And I was like, yeah, something just hit me in the face. And he's like, well, whatever. You know, he never really believed before he met me. Things seem to follow me wherever I go. I don't know what it is, but he's never experienced anything before he's met me in his 30 years of life. And he's not used to it yet. I don't think you can ever get used to it. I'm not used to it, and it's been 30 years. So I'm like, whatever, I'm going to go back to sleep. So I lay back down, and I'm turned towards him this time and kind of like laying in his, like, his back almost. Excuse me. So we both fall asleep. We're in dead sleep now. And all of a sudden, I feel water on my face. Like I just got splashed in the face, like someone had water on their hands and just like flicked it at you. And not only do I jump awake, but he jumps awake and he's like, what was that? What was that? Something. And I said, water just hit your face, didn't it? And he goes, yeah. What the hell? Did you just flick me in the face with water? And I said, no. It just happened to me too. And so he's freaking out, like I said, he's never experienced anything like this before. And the room feels really heavy, like someone's sitting on your chest. And he goes, please turn the light on. And I was like, you turn the light on. And he was paralyzed. He could not move. And so I hurried, jump up, turn the light on. And I'm like, where's the flower? Where's the flower Zoe gave me? And I go to his side of the bed. And the flower is sitting maybe like 3 feet away from the bed on the floor by itself. And the cup is sitting on the ground. There's water underneath it, but it's sitting upright. And it's got about the same amount of water that it had in it. And mind you, this wasn't close to the bed. He couldn't have accidentally like touched it or flicked it or made it fall off. And the rose couldn't have flipped that far. Just a weird story for you. I don't know what you guys make of it. I mean, I have things like this happen to me all the time. My husband's not used to it yet. But just want to see what you guys think. And we did actually end up blessing our house. I had a friend tell me that there was some herbs that I could put around my bed, because it seemed like that whole week things were messing with me in my bed to the point where I'd be sleeping and dreaming of something and it would be pulling my hair, and I'd wake up and I have really long hair, like down to the bottom of my back, and it'd be over the edge of the bed and something would be pulling on my hair as I woke up. So I told her about all these things, and she told me to put these herbs and salts around my bed and my doorway. Well, I did so. Ever since then, nothing has happened. I also had my father bless the house. But there is one strange thing that happened after. We just barely got a puppy. She's about 6 months old, German Shepherd. She's very well behaved. She doesn't bark a lot. She doesn't, you know, she's very well behaved. So we have her in her house. And the other night, in the middle of the night, I hear her barking right outside my door. And mind you, I put like salt and herbs at my doorway so that something cannot come in my room. She's barking at my doorway, and she doesn't bark unless she sees something. And my daughter ended up coming to dinner, so I didn't open the door to see what she was barking at. But my boyfriend husband says right after that, what if something was standing outside our door, like the thing that tried to come in before, which kind of gave me the creeps, but it's possible nothing's happened in my room since, so I wonder if this thing hangs outside my door. I don't know what it is. I don't know why these things are attracted to me, but I don't know, just give you something to think about. Maybe you guys have some insight for me, and thanks for what you guys are doing. Keep it up. I plan on becoming an EPP member shortly. Thanks. Bye.
I think it's interesting that it seems to have to stay outside the door now since she's done,
mm-hmm.
you know, the ritual with the salts and the herbs and everything. But as far as getting the husband wet with the water, I think that was just, it's manipulating anything that it can.
Yeah.
And water helps.
If that was there and it was a tool it could use, it used it, mm-hmm. essentially. Good story. Thanks for sharing that one with us. 855-853-4802, our number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi, you are on the air.
Hi, Jenny. Hi, Tony. This is Krizia from San Francisco Bay Area. I called earlier this year about a little boy who lived in me and my mom's apartment when I was 12 years old. So I have another story for you guys today. Earlier this year, my friend Alex lost a chihuahua. She passed away from old age and heart complications. So she wanted to contact her dog. Her name is Chiquita. Alex wanted to contact Chiquita through a Ouija board. And from listening to this podcast and doing other research on Ouija boards, you know, we felt like we pretty much had everything prepared, how to open the Ouija board, how to close it, how to contact Chiquita, how to make sure that nothing else was pretending to be Chiquita. Anyways, so there were six of us, and We know that a Ouija board is usually divisible by three, so having six people was the right amount. And, you know, we opened up the board, and it took a pretty long time to get anything through. We started speaking to something, and it kept spelling out C-A, C-A. And we were like, what the hell is that? And so my friend Alex got Chiquita's collar with a little bell on it and rang it. And that's when we started getting more stuff on the board. And it kept spelling out C-A, C-A. What the hell is C-A? And so we asked, do you speak Spanish? And the board said, yes. And we asked, are you trying to spell out casa? Casa is a Spanish word for home. And it said, yes. So it spelled out C-A-S-A. And we're like, okay, is this Chiquita? And the board said, yes. It was really sweet. You know, my friend Alex started tearing up. And then we asked the board, is there someone else here with you? And Chiquita said, yes. And that's when we got kind of spooked. We were like, okay, who else is here? And we asked if whatever was here was alive at one point. And he said yes. And we asked, you know, is it a family member of ours? He said no. We asked, was it a pet? And it said yes. And so my friend Allison asked, is it Rosie? Rosie is Allison's old dog who passed away a few years ago. And they said, yes, that it was Rosie. And Alex and Allison are best friends in real life. They're inseparable. They're exactly the same, two peas in a pod. And it was really sweet that Chiquita and Rosie found each other in the afterlife. And we asked them questions, you know, how's life in doggy heaven? And it was a really, really sweet experience. And, you know, we were getting ready to close the board, and they said no. We said, oh, do you guys still want to play? And it said yes. And then we told the board, okay, guys, we think it's time for bed now. And then the planchette pointed to goodbye, and then it went back to the middle of the board, and that's it. So of all the Ouija board stories that I've heard on this podcast and elsewhere, you know, I've only heard a handful that result in really good positive experiences and not anything scary or demonic or negative. So this was one of those really sweet, positive Ouija board experiences, and it was really, really sweet to see how Chiquita and Rosie found each other, and, you know, they never met in real life, but, you know, it's just really awesome how Allison and Alex are friends in real life, and their dogs found each other in doggy heaven. Okay, thanks, guys. Talk to y'all later. Bye.
And then we all woke up with three scars on our bodies because we... I'm kind of, I don't know.
Communicating with dogs through the Ouija
board?
Through
the Ouija board.
It makes you wonder what abilities.
Yeah. Now, I'm not doubting that they had the experience.
I'm doubting it was really the dogs.
Yes, that's what I'm coming back to.
Yeah. Because, you know, on one hand, I'm like, I wonder if there's different abilities when you die.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And on the other hand, I'm like, that's probably not actually the dogs that they were talking to, but something else.
That's a nice little precursor. Come on in here. Let's chat. I'll be your dog.
Yeah.
Like, I'm thinking, had this continued on longer, it may not have ended as sweet and wonderful as as the first experience. It's probably good it was just the one experience, so it was kind of, you know, happy.
I feel bad because she still thinks it's a positive Ouija board experience.
I don't know. I'm going to lean towards no. I'm just giving my opinion on it.
But yeah.
I believe you had the experience. I don't necessarily know that the dogs are communicating through the Ouija board. Mm-hmm. That might be a bridge too far. Mm-hmm. As far as how, because I think, you know, on the other side, you may have some other abilities. I don't necessarily know that it translates, you know, to animals having human skills or humans having animal skills, if right. you will, back and forth. I could see the animals being on the other side, but I don't necessarily know that they're able to manipulate the Ouija board. Mm-hmm. So it's my thoughts.
Kind of right there with you.
Yeah. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi, you're on the air. Let's hear your real ghost story.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. My name is Brandy. I'm calling from the Austin, Texas area. I called before and left a message regarding a ghost that walked up on me when I was doing laundry. I have another one I wanted to share. So this one was more recent. It's actually this past October. A little backstory, I recently moved out to Texas from Southern California, was staying with my mom for a couple months. So this took place while I was staying with her, and I got a new job, and the shift is a midnight shift, so I work from 11 p.m. to about 7:30 a.m. So naturally, I have to sleep during the day. I have a 10-year-old son, so one day he comes home, and he wakes me up, and he asks if he can go outside and play, and I tell him he can. So I'm trying to go back to sleep, and I hear a bunch of ruckus downstairs. Sounds like there's a bunch of people running on the laminate flooring. So I kind of yell, don't hear a response. Yell again, don't hear a response. Get up, go downstairs, see what the hell's going on. No one's there. I'm by myself, just the dog, and she's sleeping on the chair. So I decide I'm just going to try napping on the couch, maybe get a little extra sleep before my son comes home or my mom gets home from work. And multiple times while I was sleeping on the couch, I heard somebody walking about the house on the laminate flooring. And it would kind of wake me up, and I would kind of like turn over and look and see, you know, if it was the dog maybe, because I knew nobody came in the front door. But she would just be sleeping soundly on the chair. Several times this happened in this couple hours. And I had never heard noises in the house before, nothing like that. And haven't since this day. So that happens a few times. A little bit later, my mom comes home. We're, you know, we make dinner and we're eating, whatever. We're done with dinner, cleaning up. I'm sitting in the kitchen and I'm text messaging a girlfriend of mine. And my mom's phone is across the kitchen, clear across the kitchen on a counter, plugged in, charging. And I'm in there by myself. And all of a sudden, her phone starts playing a Tom Petty song. Let me go back a little bit. This was just maybe a day or two after he passed away, and I took his death unreasonably hard. You would have thought I knew the guy. It was pretty embarrassing, actually. But yeah, so I was really sad and had a heavy feeling in my gut for a good couple weeks after he passed away. Well, anyway, this happened a couple days after. So back to what I was saying, all of a sudden my mom's phone just starts playing a Tom Petty song, and I look up, and I think maybe she changed her ringtone or something. And I'm looking at the phone, waiting for it to light up to indicate that somebody's calling, but it doesn't. So a couple seconds goes by. I walk over, I push the button, and there's nobody calling, and it nothing. Nothing shows up. It's just her background. The song is just playing. And then eventually, a couple seconds later, she comes walking in, and she has no idea how that song is even on her phone or whatnot. She said she had been listening to a Pandora station earlier in the day, but turned it off. So we thought that was kind of weird. And I, as much as I would love to think that it was Tom Petty coming to say, you know, goodbye to me, I highly doubt that. I'm not that unreasonable or illogical. I just thought it was kind of a cool experience, especially since I had been hearing activity throughout the house that day. And then that happened. So I just wanted to share that and see if maybe anyone had any input. Again, like I said before, last time I called, I really, really appreciate your guys' show. And it feels good to be able to call and tell my story to people who will actually believe it and not think I'm crazy. So keep it up, and I will probably give you guys a call again. All right, bye.
Anyway, Tom Petty's dead?
Yeah, you knew that. You knew that. But it's interesting that things like you know, music on a phone or Pandora can be manipulated by whatever. Mm-hmm. And I agree with her. It's probably not Tom Petty coming through, say, hey, I'm dead, here's a song.
Free falling now.
But it could be something else that's around that's saying, hey, I'm kind of in tune on what's going on, you know?
Mm-hmm. I could see that being the case, where it's just that was happened to be what was recently played on the phone. That's what's being manipulated. It touched a nerve because this is obviously a topic that, you know, was sensitive for her with his death recently. So you don't think it was Tom Petty?
I don't.
You sure?
Not sure, but thinking it's probably not.
Yeah, she grew up in Indiana town.
No, don't.
Had a good-looking mama who never was around.
Stop.
But she grew up tall and she grew up right. Yeah. I like that song. It was a creepy video. Did you ever see the video?
No.
He like goes out to like the lake, and I don't know if he puts the girl in the lake or takes the body out of the lake, one of the two. But it's just a creepy kind of dark video.
You would like that.
Mary Jane's Last Dance. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your stories with us. Hi, let's hear yours.
Hi, I'm going to try this again, but a little bit quicker. My daughter is 2. We moved into our house, and we had never heard of any type of haunting, but our house was very old. Ended up finding out that the house was owned by the same family since the 1800s, and just passed down through generations. We never noticed anything, but our neighbor had asked us if we had seen anything, because old owners had said that they would see their grandparents, most specifically their grandfather. Our daughter's first word was hi, but she was looking into a specific stairwell in our house. Her first smile was towards the stairwell. She would just stare. As she was getting a little older, she would just stare at the stairwell, almost like someone was talking to her. And her body expressions, she would be kind of reacting to it. Come to when she first starts learning to talk, she's talking to someone named Billy, she says. So she keeps telling me that she has to say goodnight to Billy. She has to say bye-bye to Billy. Every time we do anything, it's Billy. So I figured it was an imaginary friend. She ends up telling, like, I see her in the hallway in front of her bedroom. We had to move her bedroom when we had a new baby. We see her talking to someone, and then she's whispering, okay, you can come out now. So she runs to the window in our bathroom behind the door, and she says, she looks out the window and she says, they're not coming, they're not looking, you can come out now. So she's 2 and she has a pretty extensive vocabulary, but she should not know how to tell someone how to be a lookout person. So we were a little creeped out by that. I asked her who she was talking to, and she said it was Billy. So come to a couple of weeks later, she is in her bedroom. I have the baby monitor, and she's looking up, almost as she's talking to an adult, and she's having a conversation. And she ends up saying, smacking at her foot, and she says, don't touch my foot. So I go upstairs, and I say, who are you talking to? She says she's talking to Billy. I'm like, okay, go to sleep now. I go back downstairs, go back to the monitor. She's having a conversation. So taping it with my phone, and I still have the video. And she's saying, don't touch my foot. And she smacks away again. And then I see a white orb kind of thing go across either my phone or across the monitor. And I go upstairs again. Who are you talking to? She says she's talking to Billy. Okay. So then she had to go. She has a treasure chest for when she goes potty. And she did not go one night. So I told her she wasn't allowed to have a sticker. She went to bed mad about an hour later. The treasure chest is thrown across the room, and we find it on the floor, and our daughter is fast asleep. So it was a little scary. So then we do a little bit of research and find out that the man who built our house back in the 1800s was named William, and the man who owns the house right before his children sold it to us, his name is also William. So far, there's not anything negative, except for the one experience where the basket was thrown. But since then, she still talks to Billy all the time. So far, no issues, but we're perfectly fine with him. I just wanted to share that because things keep happening, and hopefully I won't have to call in again. Thank you. Love your podcast.
Seems like there's something there that is being not so frightful, but somewhat helpful at times with your children. But just the idea of a ghost interacting with your kids, never, I think, one of the most settling of ideas in a parent's mind. Thank you for sharing that with us. We do greatly appreciate it. That wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Thank you guys for listening. Do greatly appreciate it. If you like the program, help keep us on the air. Become an EPP, extra podcast person. You sign up on our website at ghostpodcast.com. $5 a month is all it is to be an EPP. Get access to all the bonus episodes of the show. Brand new ones every single week that go up there, including other exclusive content as well. Please help keep our show alive at ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thank you guys for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.